Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Live the Promise. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. What an important conversation we have up ahead. First, I'm going to tell you a little story, though. Ready? I once knew a woman who was married to a really, really nice guy, and he was nice to everybody. Just everybody loved him, but you know what? He wasn't invested. He wasn't engaged with his wife. And over the years, I watched her just die a slow emotional death. Eventually, she couldn't handle it anymore, and she just left him. And the pain of living with his apathy for her was just far greater than going it alone without her husband. And you know what? This scenario is all too common. Disconnected men hide out in plain view. They're in our churches, in our families, in our communities. But who are these men? And how do we spot them? How do we help them? And if you're one such man, do you know that you're disconnected? My guest today says you don't always know that you're disconnected, but people around you do. They're trying to get your attention, trying to engage, asking questions like, do you care about me? Do you love me? How can we help you? We'd love to help you today. Well, my guest today is Jim Turner, and he's written a book, and this was his story, and God has done a deep work in his life. The title of his book is The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls and Restoring Intimacy with Him. Before we get Jim on, a quick announcement. I'm inviting you again. I know I sound like a broken record, but I really want you to join us for our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We are excited. We've got an amazing faculty lineup. You can check it out at northwesternchristianwritersconference.com. This conference does take place this summer, but we're talking about it now because we have a limited number of one-on-one appointments, and that's really where the stuff happens. So you get on there now, you pick your faculty member, you sign up, and you'll have that guaranteed appointment, a chance to ask questions, to pitch your ideas. This is, again, where people get published. Whenever people ask me for advice on publishing, I always tell them, get to a writer's conference. This is where the stuff happens. So hope you'll join us. The website is northwesternchristianwritersconference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Jim Turner's been in pastoral ministry for 25 years, has personally experienced the battle to overcome disconnection. A father of four young adults, he's remarried and living in the delight of being truly connected with his wife. Jim is the author of So-Called Christian, co-author of Discipline, Discipleship Workbooks, and he lives with his blended family in Portland, Oregon. You can find him on the web at jimturnerauthor.com. Dear Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Susie. It's great to be on with you today.
Looking forward to the conversation, Jim. And we start every day talking scripture, and you chose John 3:30. He must become greater, I must become less. Talk about that passage and what it means to you.
It's just a great reminder a couple of different ways for me, Susie, is that, number one, I just have to keep in mind that it's all about Jesus. It's doesn't matter who we are or what we do and how we approach life. The King James is, he must increase. And so our job is just simply to make the name of Jesus greater, higher, stronger, with everything we do. And the opposite of that is that means we have to keep ourselves under. That means we have to be humble and ready to let Jesus take the spotlight. And we just be ourselves. And that's a verse that I write on every time I sign a book, anytime I go do anything. It's a verse I want to keep in front of myself because I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and Jesus gets all the credit.
Wow, beautiful. Thanks for that, Jim. Well, if you don't mind, as much as you're comfortable, give us the backstory on your journey and your experience as a disconnected man.
Well, that's a long story, but yeah, the backstory is that I had a 24-year marriage that ended, and even my marriage ending, my wife walking out because of the exact thing that you described at the top of the show, is that you knew that woman who had a really happy-go-lucky man, friendly to everybody, but she was lonely in the marriage, dying inside because he didn't know how to connect. He couldn't get intimate with her. He was not capable of going to the emotional places that she was going to and having that great relationship that women crave, and actually everybody that is rightly related craves. But a disconnected man doesn't have that ability, and that was me. And once some events started to unfold in my life, I mean, my wife had left me, and I still didn't get it, Susie. I was still the disconnected guy. And it wasn't until a man in my church, a friend of mine, sat down with me one day in a coffee shop and looked across. I mean, we're just having a regular conversation, guys talking about our families and so on and what's going on. And he stops, looks at me across the table, and he's one of these kind of guys that, you know, if he points his finger at you, his finger could chisel granite. He's just one of those guys that is intense but loving at the same time. And he stopped the conversation, looked at me, and he said, "Jim, you know, you could get up from this table, walk out that door, go on with your life, and never think about me again, never connect with me, and really not miss me." And that was what the Holy Spirit used to absolutely put a 2x4 across my head and say, "Jim, this is you." And I wanted to deny it. I wanted to make excuses, and I kind of stumbled on a couple, and then it was just, no, what he just said is what I need to hear, and then I had to deal with it.
Wow. And did you ever...
So that's kind of the short story.
Yeah. Did you ever go back to your wife once the light bulb went on? This friend of mine, it was, I think, 15 years later, he wrote her a letter and said, "Oh, I get it now." And was so sad. And she was so sad for him, yeah, thinking it took you this long, you know. Were you ever able to go back to her and just say, "I get it now"?
Yeah, and you know what, though? She was, we did try, and we did go through counseling. And, you know, that's one of the really difficult things, and a great question, Susie, because once a woman has suffered for that many years and she's just tried and tried and tried, and, you know, maybe the man will make a little change here or something there, she's just so burnt and so discouraged that she just says, "I can't give this guy one more try." And I feel like that's kind of where my wife was. And I don't want to speak for her. I just, from my own experience, you know, I tried, and I tried to convince her that, you know, changes were happening, but, you know, it was just too little too late, and the change doesn't happen overnight. I mean, I didn't get that way overnight. I mean, it took me all my life up until that point and being this disconnected guy, and so it took years, and I can say it's still, I'm still becoming connected. I'm still learning how to be emotionally connected and intimate and relational. I'm still kind of awkward. And so it takes time. And that would be my one encouragement, Susie, for women is I get that some women just can't make that engagement, can't do that work. And they need to be okay with that. But I also realize that a lot of women just need to take a couple steps back, give it time, and go on with the other things that God has called them to, and just give their husband time. And that's if, you know, he's starting to realize something. If he's not realizing something, there's some other good stuff. And a woman has the power to actually draw her man out, and maybe we can get into that in the program as well.
Definitely, and I want you to know we have as many men listening to Live the Promise as we do women, so this is an important equal opportunity conversation, so to speak. And
And that's great.
This is interesting to me. We have a break coming up in a couple minutes, but I want you to address this. You said from your perspective, you had a happy family, you did ministry, your kids loved Jesus, and you and your wife settled differences quickly. So on the surface, and from your perspective, everything seemed to be all is well. So what was happening beneath the surface that you weren't aware of?
Beneath the surface in a disconnected man. So here's the whole deal with a disconnected man. I define a disconnected man as one who is unaware that he is non-relational, distant, and emotionally unavailable. So under the surface, everything was locked down in me. So there's this probably some place inside me at that time. You could have gone, and if you could have gotten the key to that lock and unlocked that door, you would have found everything safely tucked away in there as far as my emotional, relational baggage, so to speak. But I didn't have any access to it. Somehow I had locked it away, and I can't even tell you how that happens. I think with some men, it's some kind of trauma in childhood. I didn't have any serious trauma in childhood, but and some men, it just kind of incrementally over the years, you find out, you know what, I don't like relational pain. I don't like emotional drama, and so I'm just going to close myself off to it. And I think that's what happened underneath my heart, is that I just didn't want to deal with it. I was a doer. I wasn't a feeler. And for the men that are listening, I mean, in the book, I've got a test you can take. You can just go in and say, hey, does this apply to me? Am I like this? Is this the way I come across? So on and so forth. And you can, it's kind of a disconnection test. And you can take that and you can find out, does this describe me and should I be paying attention?
Let's pause here for our break. But I'm going to actually read some of those test questions in a little bit. Talking to Jim Turner today, his book is titled The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls and Restoring Intimacy with Him. So this is for the women who love him, and this is for you men who you don't know who you are just yet. But I'm praying some of you listening today will first of all know God loves you, but he wants to awaken you because you're missing out on so much. You might not be hearing people around you. Jim's been there, and I want to hear how God awakened you, Jim, and helped you just get in touch with the man within and the emotions that are all wrapped up in that. We've got three copies of this great book. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put The Disconnected Man in the subject line. Please remember the mailing address, and we will be back in a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
You're moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayer before I even speak. All you need for me to be is still.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Jim Turner, who's written a fantastic and what a insightful book. It's titled The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls and Restoring Intimacy with Him. And at the open of the show, I shared about a friend, long old friend from long time ago, married for a lot of years. And her husband was the nicest guy ever. Just everybody loved him. And she just died a slow death. And what was happening is he just was not engaged. Kind of, you heard the term married but not engaged? Just nice, but not engaged, not invested. And eventually she couldn't take it anymore and she left. And it was probably 15 years before he said, oh, wait a minute, I get it now. And Jim's story is similar in that walk through a time of disconnect. And I want you to, if you would, make the distinction between a disconnected man and a narcissistic man. Now, again, there are women who fit the bill of narcissism, but this disconnection is probably, I would think, more common in men than women. So make the distinction just for the sake of the conversation.
Yeah, here's the thing about, and that's a great question, because when I first wrote the book and just had the manuscript before we had a publisher or anything, I sent it around to some friends to read, and that was one of the first questions that came out, because it happened to go to a woman who felt her husband was narcissistic. And the distinction is this, is a disconnected man is typically a good man, and he's just unaware that you're trying to get to something that he doesn't know he has. I mean, he's got the emotional relational equipment, but because he's made in the image of God. But he doesn't know you're trying to get to it, and he doesn't know how to use it even if you do get to it. A narcissist and a disconnected man, going back to that, a disconnected man is somebody who hurts somebody because he's unaware that they have a need that he should be meeting, and he's not. A narcissist hurts people because he uses them for his own ends, and he's got a selfish motive there. So the difference is this awareness of or unawareness of the disconnected man. He's a good man, and that's typically who I'm describing. And to the guys that are listening out there, I mean, most of the people that know you will probably say, he's a good man. He works hard. He does his duty. He does the things he's supposed to do. You know, he shows up for his kids' activities. He's there at church on Sunday and all of that. But for those who are closest to him, and it may not be his wife, it might be his daughter, his adult daughter is trying to connect with her dad. It could be, you know, his sister. It could be anyone that's trying to connect with him, or a son even. And they would describe him as disconnected. They would say, you know, I've tried everything to get to know my dad, or I've tried everything to get to know my husband, and for some reason there's just this wall there, and I can't get through. That's the disconnected guy.
So interesting. You say another common conclusion made about the disconnected man is that he's indifferent or even uncaring because he seems distant, but yet he doesn't see himself that way, does he?
No, and you know what? They're not. I mean, a disconnected man is not evil or uncaring. They love by doing things. In other words, if you were to say that you were dissatisfied, like for the women, if you were to say you're dissatisfied, you don't feel connected with him, he'd try harder at whatever he thinks it's going to take to help you feel loved. But he's not ever going to try harder to connect with your heart because he doesn't know what that is. He doesn't know that you're looking for that, so he doesn't know how to get there. And so, and that's the awful thing. It's so tragic that this man wants to do the right thing, but he just doesn't know how to get there. And that brings up a really, really important point, Susie. Here's a big mistake that women make when they're in a relationship with a disconnected man. They keep expecting him to get it. They keep expecting him to know how to connect with them, how to be intimate, how to be emotional and relational. And the truth is, he has the equipment, he doesn't know how to use it. And if a woman can change her perspective on that, and instead of expecting him to know, become a teacher and start teaching him how to access what she's looking for, be ready to help him understand what the need is. And I've got lots of information in the book about just how to go about doing that, that are just real practical daily steps that women can read and say, oh, you know what, that's not very risky, maybe I can do that.
I would love a couple examples, if you wouldn't mind. I'm imagining the woman going, tell me, give me something I could do today.
Yeah, great. Well, yeah, perfect. And actually, let me just throw this out there. We are working on, I'm finishing up a 7-step guide for connecting with your disconnected man, and I just call it the Popcorn Steps, and it follows that acronym Popcorn. And in this guide, and I've always set up a web page that's the Susie Larson offer, okay? So anyone listening today, if you want to go to jimturnerauthor.com/Susie Larson offer/, in the next couple of days. It's not up just yet, but it'll be up in the next couple of days. You guys get first crack at this 7-step guide, and it's kind of a distillation from the book, just in a kind of an easier to chew on summary. And one of the things I do in these 7 steps is just instruct the ladies to do this. Participate. This is one of the points. participate. And what I mean by that is that once you've observed what interests your man, what, you know, kind of lights his fire, what he spends his time on and so on, pick out some activities that you can most easily join him in. Maybe he likes to go out and do projects in the garage, or maybe he has a sports hobby or whatever. Ask him if you can join. And then if he's, you know, after he gets over the shock, you know, then just go do it. And then while you're with him, just observe and ask him, you know, can you show me what you're doing there, or teach me, or, you know, can you include me in such and such? And then learn everything you can as you participate alongside him. Here's the thing about men, especially disconnected men. If you participate with them, and this is just one of the things that you can do, there's four or five other things, but if you participate with him shoulder to shoulder and watch him do what he does, and you do it over time, eventually things will start to come out. Things will start. You'll have an opening where you can say, you know what? I felt especially close to you when we were doing such and such. And he's going to say, what? I did something right? That's great. And, you know, you don't have to make a big deal of it. Once he knows that he's done something right, he's gonna be anxious to do it again. And if you just stay beside him, participate, take those openings, you'll find that eventually he'll start to open up, and you'll start to feel some connection there. I mean, it's going to take a while. But that one simple step of participating is one way that you can make a start.
We've got a hard break coming up here in a moment. So I was thinking about a couple of the things you referenced as far as reasons, potential reasons behind the disconnected man. Could have been a childhood trauma. Could be that a guy just doesn't want to deal with the drama, emotional drama, so he shuts it down and just sort of shows up half-hearted. Could it be also a kind of a detachment thing, maybe something from childhood, and I guess you could label that trauma as well, but where something happened separation-wise where then they sort of shut down, you sort of shut down, and you can't connect, but you don't know why?
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking to guys from all over the country now as a result of the book being out there, and I'm talking to a guy in Buffalo, New York, who had some serious childhood trauma. Dad was an alcoholic. Mom put him up for adoption. He was a foster child. Then I'm also dealing with somebody in Oregon that he was abused by his father. And so some serious trauma comes into play. There's another guy I've dealt with.
Sorry, Jim. We got a hard break coming up on it.
I want to
hear more stories on the other side. In fact, I want to hear from you, Jim, how you started to come alive again. What were some of the steps towards awakening? And now you're married again, and what you do there to stay connected. Talking to Jim Turner, title of his book, The Disconnected Man. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a really great conversation with Jim Turner, who wrote an excellent book. I mean, this one just got me thinking. Title is The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls and Restoring Intimacy with Him. And maybe you're married to a disconnected man. Maybe you are. And one of the things Jim says is if you are a disconnected man, you're usually the last to know about it. And some of the questions you ask the reader to ask themselves, pretty interesting, like this one. Are you able to walk away from friends without staying in touch? Do you ever truly miss anyone? Is it a rare feeling to miss someone? I'm not asking if you ever feel lonely. I'm asking if you miss a special person. Is it easy for you to leave a job and move on to another? Are you passionate about your wife? Does your love for your wife overcome you sometimes? Have you ever had a very close friend or family member die? What was their name? How long did you grieve? What was happening the last time you broke down emotionally and cried? Talk about some of those questions and the information that they offer.
Yeah, those were, and I'll couple this with answering your earlier question too, is how, you know, what happened, how did I get from being disconnected to connected. But those were the questions that kind of rose out of that time for me when I was realizing that I was disconnected and my disconnection had hurt people. After that conversation with my friend in the coffee shop, I kept asking myself, what is wrong with me? I couldn't get away from that question. What is wrong with me?
Jim, can I jump in? So how soon after? So your wife left feeling disconnected from you. And here, from all appearance sake, you guys had a really solid Christian family. You restored, you know, when you had conflict, you got back.
I was a pastor, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah. So, isn't that something? So how soon after did you have a friend sit down who's an honest, loving friend who said, I feel like you could walk away from me and never think about me again? I mean, he got you between the eyes. How soon after the divorce?
Yeah, it was about 5 or 6 months. I mean, I was still kind of wandering in this daze, doing all the wrong things to try and get my wife back. And and we had many conversations. He was I can call him my best friend. We had many conversations about her leaving, how I'm doing with the kids, because she left and the kids stayed with me, and all of that. But confronted me about 5 or 6 months after with this that wasn't related to my wife leaving at all. It was just all about me. And so after that, I just, like I said, I just kept asking myself, what is wrong with me? And that's when the Spirit was really clear with me. And I'm not a guy that says, okay, I hear the Spirit every few minutes or even much at all, you know. But at that time, it was really clear, okay, Jim, you need to feel this. Because I had never let anything emotional penetrate before. When things had gotten through to that emotional part of me, it usually caused me to utterly break down. I would be out of control emotionally, and I hated that feeling, Susie. I just hated being emotionally out of control. But if something got through and touched that part of me, sometimes I couldn't control the emotion. I would just gush and weep, and I didn't like that. But in this time, God made it really clear to me I had to feel this. I had to feel all the pain I had caused my wife over those. Excuse me. Still hard to go through.
Yeah, sorry.
But I had to feel that pain. And so for the next few weeks, probably a couple of months, I just let God deal with me and open myself up to whatever he wanted to show me, whatever memories he wanted to bring back, and let me feel what others had felt from me because of my disconnection. And so during that time, it was during that time that I just went back through my life and I said, you know what? I could leave friendships, and I have left friendships. I didn't have that connection with my wife, and all those questions kind of downloaded at that time. And I put myself through that test, and I did it alone. And for me, I had to do it alone. I couldn't go and talk to guys about it because it would just be a distraction. God wanted it to be just me and him. And so I spent that time. And when I spent that time, that's when he started showing me, okay, this is the issue. And then after that time where he just let me feel all that pain, let me see all of my brokenness, and let me see that I was disconnected not only from my wife but from my kids, my friends, and so on and so forth, then he started showing me, okay, these are the steps you need to get back to relational connection. And so at that point, I just started adding some things to my life, and asking people to help me learn how to connect. Tell me when I've done something stupid. Tell me when I've been distant. Tell me when I've said something that is obviously not relational and not intimate and not helping you. And guess what? When I started asking people to do that, they were more than happy to say, hey, Jim, you know what? You asked me to help you, and I'm going to help you. And the first group I talked to was my adult children. And I got to tell you, Susie, my adult daughters and sons came alongside me. Sorry. And helped me in ways that to this day are just amazing to me. And I'm so thankful for them. And now with all of my kids, I can say that our relationship is connected, it's intimate, and we're able to have that really great relationship that they've always wanted, they've always craved for, and I didn't know how to deliver.
Oh, Jim, I know this is hard stuff, and I'm so grateful for your honesty and your humility. I know you're speaking to hearts. I know it. And one of the things that you say, or I should say several of the questions that come up, for the person who loves the disconnected man, whether you're the child or the spouse or a good friend, am I important to him? Does he know how I feel? Why can't I seem to keep his attention? Am I the problem? When you look at your willingness to talk to all these people in your sphere to say, let me know when I'm doing things that make you feel like you're not important to me, and let me know if it doesn't seem like I know how you feel, and speak to me if you're not keeping my attention, and I want you to know if you feel like you're the problem, let me know so I can fix that. I mean, was this just one right choice and reframing of perspective, one after another, like just developing habits of intimacy? Is that sort of what this looked like?
Absolutely. And let me tell you, it's not easy. For a guy that has spent his life in an emotional island, to develop habits of allowing people to speak into your life, it's a tough thing to do. And you're going to hear stuff you don't want to hear because it hurts. And you've spent your entire life avoiding the pain. But if you really want to be, and I'm going to kind of switch gears here, I'm going to say something really bold here. If you want to obey the Lord in this, if you want to truly be like Jesus, you have to connect and you have to have relationships. As a matter of fact, I say in chapter 10 of the book that if you're a disconnected man, you are walking in constant disobedience to nearly every command of Scripture.
Whoa. Say that again. Say that again.
Yeah.
If you're a disconnected man,
you're walking. You are walking in constant disobedience to nearly every command of Scripture. And I'm not going to ever back off of that statement because of this. Every verse of the Scripture, I say on page 78 in the book, that cut the Bible anywhere and it bleeds relationship. There's not one verse that isn't about your relationship man to man with men or women, in that case, man being universal, or with God. Everything in the Bible is about relationship, and if you can't have relationship, you can't be like Jesus, and that's the whole point of the Bible. And so when I say that you've got to do this, you've got to do this, because it doesn't matter how much it hurts. It doesn't matter how much you have to humble yourself and allow people to speak in your life. You've got to do it as a matter of obedience. But once you do obey, you're going to find the richest, most blessed, most beautiful times that you've ever experienced. Because now that I'm connected and becoming more connected, I hurt. I feel pain. I feel elation and joy, but I feel, and I won't trade that for anything now.
Hmm. Can you tell me if you're okay with sharing some of the things your children said to you in the rebuilding process that were helpful and even hopeful for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My oldest daughter is really gifted at communicating with me. And so she was kind of the first one to get it, that, okay, this is a different dad than I've ever experienced before. Mm-hmm. And when I gave her permission to speak into my life, of course, the first few times were pretty rocky because I would always react. And one of the most important things she said to me is one of those times where I reacted, she just simply said, "Dad, you can't do this anymore. You can't react like that anymore." And it was like, whoa, something that simple, Susie, to be reminded, okay, if you're telling me that you're going to be like Jesus, if you're telling me you're going to be relational and emotional and intimate with me, you can't react when I share something with you. And that hit really hard.
Courageous. I mean, really. Because you knew she loved you, but she had the guts to say a hard truth in love, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And same with my youngest boy. He was very forthright, and he's kind of brash and bold anyway. But but when I gave him permission, I mean, there was one time I remember we were having a conversation, and I said something that was more harsh than it should have been, and he said something back, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but how it ended up, Susie, was that he ended up. Excuse me again. Sitting on my lap, and we just both had a big cry. And he was 17 years old at the time. I mean,
precious.
This kid that doesn't want to cry, but those are the kinds of things that happen. And I'm talking to men right now. I know it. That say, I am so afraid of that. But I can tell you that. If you can just give it to Jesus and get over that fear and invite people in, it'll be all right.
Jim, I just appreciate you more than I can say. We're going to pause here for break, talking to Jim Turner today. The Disconnected Man is the title of his book. We've got 3 copies. Honestly, wish I had 100 copies. Imagine what would happen in marriages, in families, in friendships, if you as a disconnected man or awaken, because God loves you and he wants to engage your heart and you will come alive. It's like your life will go from black and white to technicolor, right? 3 copies. Email if you want in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Put the disconnected man in your subject line. Don't forget the mailing address. And Jim, on the other side, I want you to talk about you married again. In this marriage, how it's different, how you approach it, what you've learned, what your takeaway is. Talking to Jim Turner, more with him in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Having such a great conversation today with Jim Turner. Title of his book is The Disconnected Man. And he was once a man, a nice guy, married, maybe not so much engaged. And that's so common for men that are just emotionally shut down. And everybody around you wants to connect. You feel like things are fine. You don't understand why the connection isn't there. Eventually, Jim's marriage ended, and a lot of brokenness happened, and God really built him back up again, and now he's ministering to men who are disconnected for various reasons. Maybe there's a trauma in your past. Maybe you don't like drama, so you've just shut your heart down. Maybe you don't know why you can't get from here to there, but you're not connected to people, and people just don't feel connected to you. When you got married again, I want you to talk about how you met her. Were you afraid of going into marriage again, and how this marriage is different?
Afraid is not the word for it. I don't know what the most intense word for fear is, but it's probably that. It's just so I'll tell you the backstory first. I mean, as a Bible-believing pastor, one of the things that I just swore would never happen to me was divorce, right? And when it happened, and as I worked through it personally, I just felt like I was going to be set on the shelf, both as a teaching pastor and as a man who could ever have another relationship. I mean, I went through all of those thoughts and fears about moving forward. And so I put myself under the elders of our church, and I just said, listen, I've really screwed things up. And, you know, they walked with me through the separation and divorce and the whole thing, and they tried on my behalf to do some reconciliation and so on and so forth. But what I did at that time, and I have to tell you that the elders in my church and the people in my church came alongside and biblically restored me. And so the elders basically said, you know, Jim, we want you to set yourself aside for a while, and it could be permanently. We don't think you're going to be qualified to teach during this time and so on. And so I did that. I just submitted to them, and I did everything they told me to do. Met with one of the elders once a week for this entire time and just did what they told me to do. And part of that was part of the relational healing as well. And about a year, year and a half into that, the head elder came to me and he said, Jim, you know what? You've done everything we've asked you to do. We've seen that you've just submitted yourself and done everything you can do. And so we want to restore you, and we believe that you should be using your gift again and so on. So that's kind of the backstory, is that I had to go through all of that and be restored in that way. And then ask the question, okay, am I biblically eligible to be remarried? And that's a really, you know, hot topic, and you're going to get some different opinions on it. But at the time, I submitted myself to the elders and asked them, and they counseled me on that. And then I had lots of other pastor friends, and I had about six men who were either pastors or counselors in ministry, men who really know and love the Bible and love the Lord, counsel me on this and say, you know what, we believe you're free and you can remarry. And so that was the first step. And there again, it's a step where men have to be willing to submit to other good men. And if you're not willing to do that, then it might not go so well for you. But God, you know, had already crushed me, and he just kept me walking in his steps. And I appreciate the fact that he kept a tight rein on me, because I needed it. But anyway, I submitted, and then I didn't know what it – I mean, I was ready to have another relationship. It had been about 5 years since the separation and divorce. And so I started looking, and didn't know how to look, where to look. And guess what? A buddy said, hey, you know what? You ought to just go online. And I said, no way. I will never do that. And that's where the fear really comes in, is, okay, whatever you see online is probably not what's real. But I did it anyway, and God so orchestrated it that I met my present wife, Tanya. She's the only one I met online. But
and just for the record, I've got a few people in my life that I love so much who met amazing spouses online. So for the person listening who you just don't know, I mean, this is, you know, it's a good thing for some people. So keep going anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It scared me to death, but I gave it to the Lord, and I met my wife, and we just handled the conversation very seriously. And from the very first conversations, I said, "Okay, here." As a matter of fact, on our second date, Susie, I had the manuscript of the book, and I said, "Okay, before we take this relationship any further, if you really want to know who I am, read the book. And so our second date, we actually spent 4 hours in the loft of a little restaurant. They gave us the loft all alone, and she read the entire book. And I said, this woman's pretty special if she'll sit here and read my book. And, of course, cried a lot because a lot of it was reflective of her past relationship as well. But it ended up that God showed us really quickly that he could use us. And from the start, she has been free to speak into my life. I've been free to speak into her life. And, you know, I wouldn't call us intimate. I just call us an emulsion. We're just, we think alike, we talk alike, we just have an amazing relationship. And I couldn't have done that had I not gone through what God wanted me to go through.
Wow, thank you for sharing. We've got just about a minute and a half before it's time to pray. But this dear listener writes in and says, how do you prevent yourself from shutting off inside when you have a disconnected husband as the years go by? How do I keep caring and loving as Christ has loved me when you go so long without connection? Any advice?
Yeah, and there's some advice on that in the book. And a lot of times you have to reach out to the other people in your life to keep you accountable. But that's where a good woman can, in concert with the Holy Spirit, determine to just be obedient. And a lot of this is just plain old-fashioned obedience, knowing what's right to do, and then getting up every day and doing it. If we don't do that, we probably won't be successful. But that's a very common question, and there's a lot of information in the book about that since we don't have much time to cover it. But it's a bigger answer than what I just gave.
And maybe, excuse me, did you say the thing not to do then would be to hit it face on, to say, we never connect, I don't know you? Are those things not effective for the person, for the disconnected man?
Oh, no, you will frustrate him to no end because he has no clue what you're asking for. There are ways to reach him, and they're not conventional ways. But like I said, it's covered in the book, step by step, ways where you can connect with a disconnected man and draw him out. Confrontation doesn't work, I can tell you that.
Wow. Well, Jim, this has been so great. I can't express how much I appreciate your precious heart. And as we pray here, wondering if you'd pray for that wife who wrote in, because she represents many, that she would not lose heart and she'd have wisdom about knowing what to do. Would you pray for her?
Absolutely. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you chose to have a relationship with us. It's your heart, it's your passion, it's your desire to get to know your children. And help us, Lord, to reflect that. And I pray for the women out there, and not only this person that wrote in, but we have one that just wrote into our website with the exact same request, almost word for word. Would you meet them where they are and give them Bible wisdom on how to endure, how to trust you, how to cast all their care on you because you care for them, and then give them the faith and the endurance to last and the wisdom to address everything they can address at the time that's most appropriate. And we pray it in the name and the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jim, I'm praying you'll come back and join us again. The conversation was so good. Bless you for all that you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Susie. It's been a joy.
Great to be with you. Jim Turner, the title of his book, The Disconnected Man. And you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a really great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.